looking at the fruit from the Spirit, and particularly the main application of using the part of the fruit of Spirit, love, which is in the new commandment. And as I do this introduction, if you'll turn to John, the 13th chapter, and we want to just kind of peruse and look over the 34th verse, the new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I had loved you, that you also love one another. This is a new and quality commandment, and it has a different standard than the Old Testament, in that now human values or human love isn't involved. It's a divine quality of love. Now it's a divine enabling. We spent two Sundays showing you that the new commandment was not, or is not, a rehash, a redefinement, a refinement of the Ten Commandments. And in fact, we kind of almost figuratively rubbed your nose in the Ten Commandments, because I wanted you to see most people don't fully understand what they are. Now remember, this is very important in your background to the Old Testament. The Ten Commandments were only part of the law. The law included the Ten Commandments, the statutes, which were all the dietary restrictions and cleanliness restrictions and services of the priests. And then you had the judgments. And keep this in your memory. In Galatians, the third chapter, in the second verse, Paul and the Holy Spirit says that you can't just pick and choose what you want from the law. Now, when I say you're not under the Ten Commandments, I'm not saying going out there and it's a free-for-all morally. Actually, if you understand the New Testament, the Ten Commandments are not a very high standard. They're a legitimate standard for any civil society, even unsaved people. That is in the second chapter of Romans. But when I say we're not under the Ten Commandments, I say we're under the New Covenant. You actually have much higher requirements in the New Testament, and we gave you those as we went through. Remember, the old Ten Commandments are all don't do this. The new commandment is do that. In the don't do this in the Ten Commandments, you can break them by doing them. In the new commandment, you can't break it. You either do it or you either fulfill it or don't fulfill it. So it is a completely different concept. It's new in quality. Now today, we're going to look at another argument people use. And then I'll tell you what it is, and then we'll look at it. They'll say, well, the new commandment from Christ, he says commandments. In John 15, he says commandments several times. We'll look at those. And in 1 John, John in the second, third chapter uses the word commandments. So when they say commandments plural, they're looking back at the Ten Commandments. We'll completely answer that question. No, that's not true. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. We're going to look at Scripture, not a commentary, not what I think, not what you think. We're going to look at Scripture that says that the commandments from Christ are his explanation and implementation of the commandment. So now commandments plural in John 15 and in 1 John the second and third chapters is always referring back to the commandment. New Testament commandments are different, and there are multiple commandments. There are commandments the Father gave the Son. They're not the same as you. The Father gave the Son the commandment to die on the cross. Do you have that commandment? So not all commandments are the same. You have to watch to whom they are being addressed. Now, the first part of this is going to be a little technical. So stay with me on that. But remember, it can't be the same as the Ten Commandments, because the Ten Commandments, you love God as you love yourself. In the New Testament, it doesn't say that. Christ says you love one another as you love me. And I'm going to show you verses that say, when you do that, you're loving the Father with a divine quality of love. When you do that, you're loving the Son with a divine quality of love, which is different than as you love yourself. It's a different, completely different standard. Now, so you have the new commandment in 13:24. I want you to turn the page with me over to the 15th chapter. Let's look at the 10th verse. Now, the word keep, not always, But in this context, the word keep has the idea of guard. He's not saying that you put the new commandment in a vault and guard it. It has the idea of action. By guard, mentally guard, and we're going to see multiple verses that says that that has the idea of doing it. So then, get this. The Ten Commandments is don't do it. The new commandment is do it. It's a completely different concept. Now in John 15 verse 10 I read, if you guard, that is keep in custody, my commandments, plural, you shall abide in my love, even I as kept my Father's commandments, there's another set of commandments that the Father gave to the Son, and abide in his love. Now you can see here that Christ is using the commandments plural. Now skip with me down to verse 14. You are my friends if you do, and the word do there has the idea of craft what things. Now that's plural. Do you see you have whatsoever? It should read what things, plural. So the things go back up to the plural commandment. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time what we're going to see. We're going to see that the Father gave a commandment to the Son. And that commandment was to dispense the new commandment that you love one another. Then the Son, because he is deity, the God-man, turns around and explains the commandment in commandments, telling you how to do it. So here's what we're going to see. The commandment stays the same, love one another. However, Christ will not change that commandment, but as deity will tell you how to implement it as a human. And those will be commandments. That's, you can see that starting to happen in conceptually in verse 14. You are my friends if you craft or perform what things I command you. So he's going to command plural things. The Father gave a commandment to the Son. The Son turns around and makes it commandments, but he doesn't change the commandment. He explains how to implement the commandments. Look down at verse 15. No, it's not 15, it's 17. Verse 17, these things I command you. See the plural? Things goes back to verse 14, which goes back to verse 10, commandments. These things I command you, in order that you love one another. That there should be in an order that. So what he's saying is that I'm going to give you commandments so that you can fulfill the commandment. The command, what are you doing all that for? I'm proving to you that when Christ uses the commandments plural, he's not referring to the Ten Commandments. He's referring to the commandment of the New Testament and how to implement it. It's very clear linguistically if you follow along with me. Now let's turn over to 1 John and we'll see this spelled out again. Now remember, this is the same two co-authors that authored John, the Gospel of John and 1 John, or the Holy Spirit and the Apostle John, the one that was in the realm of humanity closest to Jesus. And we see over in John the third chapter, 1 John the third chapter rather, and we want to look at the 22nd verse. 1 John 3:22. That what we should be asked, should happen to ask, we receive of him. Now the him there we know to be the Father. We got to trace our pronouns and we can figure this out by the rest of the verse. Because we are keeping his commandments. Now that would be Christ. We'll prove that in the next two verses. And doing these things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 23. And this is his, that goes back to the Father, the one answering the prayer. This is his commandment that we should, now this is goes even farther. Watch the order, that we should believe on the name, that is the character and quality of his Son. That's how come I knew what the his was. So the his in verse 23 has to be the Father because it's his Son, Jesus Christ. So his Son, Jesus Christ. So God the Father's commandment is you believe in Jesus Christ first. Then the Son, once you believe in him, his commandment to us is that we love one another. Keep going. Last part of verse 23. And love one another. That's the part that Jesus tells us. As he gave us commandment. Now, who gave us that commandment? It says right here, it's the Father's commandment. So again, and we'll see it in the next verse. The Father gave the commandment. You remember the verse in John that Jesus says, all that the Father commands, I do. Everything Christ did in the realm of his humanity, he did it as a result of the commandment to the Father. So that when the upper room, when he gives the new commandment, it's because the Father gave it to him and commanded him to give it. Now, when he gave it to him, the Father also put in an extra stipulation. We read that back in verse 23, is that you have to believe in Christ before you perform the new commandment. I want to say that again. There are teachings today, in quotes, that you perform the new commandment and then you get saved. That's, what did they say? That's getting the cart before the horse. No, you're saved first. That's the Father's plan, verse 23, and then you perform the new commandment, verse 24. And the one keeping or guarding his commandments. Now, who would the his be there? Well, it's plural, so that's God the Son, that's Christ. Dwells or is at ease in Christ, and Christ is at ease in him. And hereby, we'll get into that later. But what I wanted to show you is this. We've shown you back in John 15. We've shown you in 1 John 3. Both places clearly state that the Father had a commandment that he gave to the Son. Both clearly state that the Son gave this commandment in the upper room. It says in a beginning, we didn't go over that verse yet. That the Son gave this new commandment. Now the Son as deity takes this singular commandment and he's going to give several different instructions about how to fulfill the new commandment, and he'll call those commandments. And he can call them that because he's deity. So what we're doing then is we're going to show you the commandments of Christ. Now when I say the commandments of Christ, be careful. I'm always pointing back to the commandment. Got it? Now, we've listed at least 11. You can find more. 11 ways that Jesus says to implement the new commandment. He calls those commandments. But they all go back to the commandment to love one another. Not one of them goes back to the Ten Commandments. Got it? Ooh, if you got that, you're ahead of most who study this, okay? It's not that difficult. Now, from now on, if you got that in your thinking, we can go through and we can see what he's talking about. Now, what Jesus knew, because he's deity, he knew that if he just told people to love one another, they might go sit in the corner and go, I'm loving the brother. As deity, he knew that it had to be implemented. Now, I'm going to say this, and you're going to see it proven over and over again. Love is not a feeling, number one. Love is a rational perspective or concept, actually a divine enabling, that causes you to do something. You want a verse for that? Keep your finger in John 15. I think we can get sidetracked. Turn over to 1 John. 1 John, and I believe it's the second chapter. Yeah, it is. No, yeah, it's the third chapter in the 18th verse. 1 John 3:18. I want you to see this. If you get nothing else today, get this. Love is not a gushy-gushy feeling. Remember, we spent almost a whole Sunday showing you there's a difference between this love and fondness. Now, they're going to work together. We're going to get that later. But as of now, remember this love is a divine enabling. It's not emotional. It is to govern emotion. And it's in the realm of your human spirit. It is in the realm of rationale. And it is a perspective in doing something. It's not something you just feel, walk around. No, it's something that's seen, implemented. Third chapter of 1 John, verse 18. My little born one, little children, let us not love in word. Now, my father used to say this, and so it's not original me, but I believe it to be true. When you say I'm loving you in this kind of love, now you better say that to your wife, but not this kind of love. In this kind of love, when you're saying I love you, brother, you're not loving him. You might love him as a result of what you do after you say that, but the actual verbiage is not love. That's what this says. Do not use this. Do not think you're loving the brethren when you say I love you. This loves you, brother. That's not loving the brethren. Keep going. My little children, let us not love in word, neither with our tongue. So can I love with my tongue? Not directly. Now, if you have a teaching gift, exhortation gift, or some kind of gift of speaking, you can use that to love, but that is, you don't love by saying, I love you. Not this love. I'm talking about divine love. How do you love? Last part of the verse. But indeed, activity and in truth. It's got to measure up to Scripture. So when people say, I love the... I'll give you one. Let's just go ahead and do it. There's a bunch of perversion going on in our country today more than ever. And they're not just being perverted, they're shoving it in our face. Now, a lot of Christians say, well, I love them too because Jesus loves sinners. First of all, I've never found a verse that says he loves sinners. I have two verses that say God hates sinners. Psalm 11:5. I can't get the other one off the top of my head, but I can look it up for you. We are not to say that we love these people who are perverted, that we hate their sins. You cannot use this kind of love and enable perversion. This kind of love, you would tell them they're wrong. You got any of that? I'll give you something that I have practiced. If you got any of that in your scope or in your family or extended family or certain relatives, they should know that you're against that perversion. That doesn't mean you dog them out all the time, but they should know. I don't care if it's Thanksgiving or Christmas. If they're going to sit at the table with me, they're going to know I think they're wrong. And that I'm not going to enable. Well, that's not this love. We're going to see verses that say this love is for other Christians. And this what we're going to see, what I really want to show you if I can get going here, this love is that you want other Christians to grow spiritually. And if they're in perversion and you enable it, you're not loving them. This love corrects. We're going to see that on down the line. So let's turn back to John 15 and see how Jesus tells us the night before he died, we can implement the new commandment. I'm in John 14, verse 15. If you love me, the me there, in fact, let's do a better translation. I'm in John 14, 15, in case I lost you. If you should happen to be loving me, Christ, Jesus Christ, keep my commandments. Let's turn it around. How many times have you heard, and I think they even have songs on the quote Christian stations, I love Jesus. They might have a little different grammar. How do you love Christ? How do you love Jesus? What's the verse say? How do you love him? Will you go up in the third heaven and hug him? How does this verse say you love Jesus? By keeping his commandments, which all go back to the commandment. So that, but another way you can love Jesus is to overcome temptation. That's in James 1, about verse 10. Another way you can love Christ is by loving his coming. 2 Timothy 3:4-8. But the main way you can love him is by loving the brethren. It says it right there, bold and true. Go down to verse 21, same chapter, 14 John. He that hath my commandments and keeps them, that guards them, obviously, and implements them, he is that loves me, and he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. So it brings you into a special relationship with the Father. Now, this is in the family. It doesn't say if you don't keep the commandments, you won't be in the family, but it enhances your family relationship when you fulfill the commandments. It says it right here. He will be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will make myself plain to him. You want to experience Christ? Have you ever heard that? I just want to experience Christ. Maybe I've heard all the heresy and you guys haven't. I just want to experience Christ. The way we can experience and understand who and what Christ is. Now this word here, know, has the idea of experientially known. It's put into practice. The way we can know in our practice who Christ is, part of his character, is to fulfill the new commandment and to commit and to do the commandments. What that means is, and over in 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, it talks about that we as mirrors are reflecting off the life of Christ. Well, when we're reflecting off the light or the life of Christ there in that context, obviously, in that process, we absorb some of the knowledge of who he is. You want Christ to be, have you ever heard this? I want Christ to be real in my life. I know you've heard that. How does Christ get real in your life according to this verse? Fulfill the commandments. He that hath my commandments, last part of the verse, I will be made plain to him. Very, very clear as to what it happens there. So you enhance your relationship with both the Father. I'm not saying it starts the relationship. I'm saying it's a special enhanced relationship with the Father and the Son. You have three places that the Father can love you. One is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, about 13, he loves a hilarious giver. Two is here, if you're fulfilling the new commandment by the commandments, that the Father loves you and loves you. And the third one is, the one you don't want, is over in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, is if you misbehaving spiritually, the Father will spank you when he loves you. Oh, you mean love spanks? Yeah. Yeah, love does. I got in a big argument with a seminary graduate once, and he said, you can't love carnal Christians. I said, what? When I tell them they're wrong, I'm loving them, for crying out loud. That's the stupidest. I got into it pretty heavy on that. You can love carnal Christians, but you don't enable them. Do you see the difference? You tell them they're wrong. And as long as you're doing it, don't put your feet under my table. Simple. There's some other things that go along with it, but I'll spare you. Going down into the 15th chapter of the book of John, 15th verse. If you keep my commandments, you'll abide. This word abide needs some explanation. It's translated dwell a couple places. It's translated other ways. But it has the idea of being at ease. And people who have gone to seminary get in the habit of saying feel at ease. Don't use the word feel. This is an intellectual concept. That if you are at ease, now watch, what are your at ease here? Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall be at ease in my love. In other words, you should keep the commandments to the point that it's a regular concept and it's easy to do it. This isn't a one-time deal. This is we're going to see, it's a lifestyle that we're to practice. I've been very careful in telling you my priorities. God, then family, then some other things that you may not approve of. Guns, agricultural things, agriculture. Now, in the realm of God, the most important thing there, when I say God, is my allegiance to the Father. That's where my deity is, up there in the third heaven. And if that is a habit in my life, if that is my lifestyle, we'll see that over in 2 John, that is a lifestyle, then I'm at ease in Christ's love. What did I just read to you? If I'm practicing new commandments, then Christ will love me. Well, you don't want him just occasionally loving you. You want it to be a habitual, at ease love that we have, that we dwell in. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall be at ease in my love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments, and I am at ease in his love. Looking down, well, we could go on in the context. There's a verse I missed over in the 14th chapter, the 23rd verse. You can look that up on your own. That adds to it. Turn, if you will, with me to 1 John. 1 John, and we want to look again. We want to look at the second chapter. 1 John, the second chapter. When you read, just to give you a little background, when you read the term little children in 1 John, it's a special, he puts a little extra letter in little children, and it has the idea of little born ones. He has a kind of a family relationship in the sense that John is talking to these people like they're his spiritual children. Now, he didn't beget them. The Holy Spirit did that. But he might have led them to the Lord. But even if he didn't lead them to the Lord, he thinks of them as in the spiritual family as his. That's who he's talking to in verse 1. Verse 2. Did I say the second chapter of 1 John? I should have said the third chapter. Is it the third chapter? No, it is the second chapter and the third verse. Did I change your notes on that? 1 John 2, 3? Okay. One person was listening. Okay. Two. They're coming by the millions. Okay. 1 John 2, 3. Hereby we are knowing in experientially. That means we put into practice that we have. Now watch the language here. We know in the present, that means we experientially know, that means it's been practiced, that in the past, we have in the past known him. What in the world is it talking about? What it's talking about is when we practice the new commandment now, it reassures us that we were saved in the past with the perfect years with the concept that we still are saved. You ever doubt your salvation? This verse tells me you weren't practicing the new commandment. If you practice the new commandment, there's no doubt. Because you intellectually know that you were saved in the past because you knew him in the past. That's kind of a rich verse. Verse 3. By the way, verse 2 is a fantastic verse. And I keep wanting to go back to it, but I better not. Verse 3, hereby we are in the present knowing experientially that we have in the past experientially known him if we should in the present be keeping his commandments. And he says, he that saith, I don't experientially know Christ and keeps not his commandments is a liar, the truth is not in him. Oh, I put an extra not in. In other words, what it says here, is if you say you know Christ, oh, I just know Christ, he's in my life. Are you practicing the new commandment? Because if you say I know Christ and you're not practicing the new commandment, you don't. That's what the verse says. Even though I misread it, that's what the verse says. Okay? Very important. You want to experientially know Christ, practice the new commandment. You want to experientially know his love, practice the new commandment. Now, if you turn over to, let's go down to the fifth chapter, or fifth verse of the second chapter. Fifth verse of the second chapter. But who, keeping, now remember this word keeping has the idea of mentally guard. It's not an intellectual fact that you put in there so you can win Jeopardy. It's a keep that you actually put in practice. We'll see many references to that. He that keepeth. Now you have in the King James his word. It has an article in front of it which has the idea of the word. Now word here is used as concept. What is the concept Christ was getting across in the upper room? The new commandment. So his word or his precept would be the new commandment here in verse 5. Based on the context of verses 3 and 4. So let's do an interpretation that way. Verse 5. Oh, whosoever keeps his precept or his commandments, in him truly is the love of God. Now you have in the King James perfected. Remember, perfection should be translated mature. It's a process. No Christian is completely mature until the rapture. However, there is a quest. There is a progression, a process of maturing now. And what does it say here? Let's translate it that way. In him truly is the love of God in the process of maturing. Hereby we experientially know that we are in him. You know, you have a lot of people teaching in Christ Church, truth. And a lot of times they give you a chart and they say, and then you go through all these things in your mind. And I know, well, I can use myself as an example. If that's all you do, you're going to say, how do I know I really am in Christ? How do you really know that the Father counts you to be in the Son at his right hand on the throne? How do you really know that? Well, Scripture tells you, so you intellectually know it by that way. But how do you know it in practice? How do you experientially know as a result of practice that you're at the right hand of God the Father in the Son? Well, it's right here. Last part of the verse. Hereby we experientially know that we are in him. So when we say that we're in the in Christ, in the Father's imputation, we can intellectually know that and believe that from Scripture. But we have to put it into practice via the new commandment, and then we experientially know that. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm up there in the Father's thinking. Because occasionally I've experienced that. It's an experience. When you see this experiential knowledge, it has to do with putting it into practice. So if I put into practice the new commandment by means of the commandments of Christ, I can experientially know that I'm up there. That brings new meaning to my politics are up there. By the way, those are the only politics that won't fail you. The ones that are up there. All these down here, no matter who they are, they're going to fail you eventually. Now, if you look over at the third chapter in the 22nd verse, we have some more explanation of the commandments. Third chapter, well, we already did that one, but let's pick up something else we did there. It pleases the Father here in verse 22 when we do the new commandment. Where's your fealty? Who are you trying to please? The Father? It pleases the Father. Watch verse 22. And whatever we should be happening to ask to receive of him, because we are keeping his commandments. This we are doing, or practicing these, crafting these things that are pleasing to the Father in his sight. We went over this one Sunday in our study of prayer in the Sunday school. And I don't know how to say this nice, but I'll just say it, what the verse says. People say, my prayers aren't answered. What's one comeback you could have to that person? According to this verse, are you practicing the new commandment? Doesn't it say that? Let me read that again. I'll read it better this time. And whatever we should happen to ask, we receive of him. What's the qualification? It doesn't say that you ask for the lottery to win the lottery. It says that you ask in terms of the new commandment. Watch. Because we are keeping his commandments. Now, who would that be? The his there. Commandments, plural, that would be Christ. And doing, that is crafting, having a design, those things that are pleasing in Christ's sight. So if your prayers aren't being answered, you're probably not fulfilling the qualification of practicing the new commandment and actually performing in His sight. The way I read it here is you do before you ask. It's very simple there. It's very simple. It's hard to read. You read it on your own. I'm not stretching scripture. And I'm going to skip over some verses. You can look at them on your own. We always give you what we call challenge verses for you to take home. That's the part of the outline we don't cover. But if you'll turn over to 2 John, I'll show you a verse that brings it all together. Commandments and commandment. And you'll see it in one verse. I'm in 2 John, whatever chapter you want, verse 6. By the way, most people that get this wrong are using 2 John chapter 2. Okay. 2 John verse 6. And this is the specific love. Now, when you see a specific love, which one's that going to? It's going to go to the definition of the new commandment, and it's going to be a divine enabling when a human does it. And this is the specific love that we should, it's a subjunctive, we should. Now the word walk has the idea of order our lifestyle. That we should order our lifestyle after His commandments. This is the commandment. Do you see it? It's in one verse there. The commandments are the commandment. The commandments teach us how to implement the commandment. And the commandment is that we love one another. Now watch. This tie, the last part of the verse ties it to the upper room. Ties it right back to chapter 13 of John. That is what we heard from a beginning. After beginning, if you mark in your Bible, put John 13, 34. It's not the beginning, it's a beginning. The beginning of the New Testament truth. You should order your lifestyle in it. Why are you spending all that time on the new command? Because that's what our lifestyle should look like. That's what my lifestyle should look like. And if I can't analyze my week at the end of the week or at the end of the day or at the end of the month, whenever you do that self-assessment and say, I practiced the new commandment, something's wrong with me if I don't, and I better get it right. It was given at a beginning. By the way, you have the beginning, a beginning of New Testament truth. That ties it right back to John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give to you. Let's go back there real quickly. I'll show you something grammatically that you might need to know in John 13, 34, because you'll run into people. So what we've done, we've proved to you that the Ten Commandments are not rehashed by the commandment, and that the commandments of Christ are not reiterations and remaking of the Ten Commandments. It's a completely different process, a completely different thing. Now go over to John, I'll give you a little grammatical thing to think about during the week. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. New standard. That you also love one another. Now watch verse 34. By this shall all. Now in the King James they have the word men. Does everybody in your King James is men italicized? Right? That means it's not there that they added. So who's the all here? Well, it's a nominee plural in the original, which goes back to the ye. So the all is qualified grammatically to go back to the you or the ye in verse 34. So to interpret it correctly, the all always gets its meaning from the context. It should, the concept is here. I'm not adding to scripture, but grammatically this is what it's saying. By this all you shall experientially know that you are my disciples. How do they know that the other person was a disciple? By the way, disciples changed here. Disciple changes six times in the Gospels. By the time we get here, it means a believer. That's in Matthew 28. By this shall all you know you're my disciples, if you have loved one another. So how do I know you're a real Christian? Well, I maybe see an occasion where you put the values and the Christian growth of another Christian as a priority in your life, and that's practicing the new commandment. When you pray for other Christians, you're practicing the new commandment. When you teach the other Christians, you're practicing the new commandment. When your lifestyle reflects Jesus Christ and those standards, you're practicing the new commandment, because my lifestyle has to reflect Christ for you. All these practices are the new commandment. And when I see Christians practicing the new commandment, I experientially know that that's what, who they are. That they're Christians. Let's end with this. Turn over the 15th. The world's just going to love you when you do this. Okay? John 15. Verse 18. Same treatise, same time he's talking to him. If the world hates you, you experientially know that it hated me before it hated you. If, and it's not contrary to fact, that you were out of the world as a source, the world would be fond of you because you'd be its very own. But because you are not out of the world as your source, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Now the system doesn't hate you, it's the people in it. You ever been on a job? I have. Where you know you're working twice as hard as somebody else, and you get the dirt and they get the raise. I'll close with this. It is such an axiom that it sounds funny, but it's true. Almost every teacher of the year I've ever known was the worst teacher I've known. They had the best bulletin boards, but never taught the kids a lick. I could write a book on just that, but that's just showing you that the world, I read it to you correctly, the world takes care of its very own. It doesn't take care of you. You don't want it to, because if it takes care of you, you're not living a life for Christ. End with this, 2 Timothy 3:10 or 12, those that desire, not even start practice, those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Doesn't say might be 50. There was a guy that was teaching, I won't mention name. You know him. I mentioned his name earlier. And he said, I don't understand this verse. You can turn there on your own. 2 Timothy 3:10 or 12. All those that desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer, be persecuted, be pursued. He said, I don't understand this verse. I'm not persecuted. He's not living for Christ then. Or he's got blinders on or something's going on. I'm persecuted every time I read the news. I'm persecuted every time I see anything about our judicial system now. When I look at the values, that's why we did that song and sing that song. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. The heavens are laid out somewhere beyond the blue. The commandments of Christ are not a reiteration of the Ten Commandments. They're an explanation of the new commandment and how we as humans are to implement this divine quality of life. Again, in closing, let me say this. You and I cannot love this love on our own. We cannot conjure it up. We have to be rightly related to the Holy Spirit, and it's a divine enabling. When the Holy Spirit gives us this divine enabling, a perspective to love the brethren, then it is our human responsibility to respond to that divine enabling. And we've pointed it out once, every time we've pointed out every Sunday to other brethren. It doesn't say love the world. In fact, I got a verse that says don't do that. 1 John 2:15. It's to love the brethren. And we're going to develop this. Love is not gushy-gushy. Love is I want you. I want you to grow spiritually, and I'm going to do whatever it takes to help, to facilitate that. And this has never happened, but if it means catching you out of life, I'll do that. If it means supporting you and showing you how to resist the enemies, I'll do that. If it means supplicating, interceding, praying for you, I'll do that. Or should do that. I'm not perfect. Our Father, we thank you for your word. We ask for journey mercies as the saints travel home. We'll be giving